Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres play their first of three in Colorado against the Rockies. And we've got Ben Higgins and Kurt Bevacqua, who during today's show will effort to stay on topic and talk Padres baseball for at least 60 straight seconds.
I don't know about 60 seconds.
60 seconds is a long time.
That is a long
time. That's a long time.
Try holding your breath for 60 seconds.
You get a good 20, 25 seconds, it'll seem very appreciative.
That's a good one.
So turn off your brain and get ready for some Padres talk with Ben and Kurt.
The worst thing you can do is start thinking.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Ben Higgins and Kurt Bevacqua.
Yeah, the Padres had a day off yesterday. They're rested and ready. Kurt, Ben Higgins, we're rested and ready. We can talk Padres baseball.
We're scholars, aren't we?
We got a whole hour. We can fill the whole hour and talk all Padres baseball, right?
Yes, we can.
Welcome to Padres Social Hour. We are live in the AMR studios. It is presented by United. Kurt Bevacqua and Ben Higgins getting you ready for a little Padres Rockies baseball today from Coors Field in Denver. First of a three-game weekend series. And the one team the Padres have really handled well this season, Kurt, 11-5. They have had the Rockies' number, so hopefully that continues tonight.
Well, I'm sure that they're going to go in there with good feelings because they have played good baseball against them. There's a lot of stuff going on right now within the Padre organization, and of a lot of it, and most of it's leading into 2016. As we all know, you know, there's auditions going on a daily basis, and players are going out, they're taking the field, and they realize that. So they have to perform.
Well, speaking of auditions, how about today's starting pitcher, Ian Kennedy? He's going to be a free agent at the end of the year, but there's certainly some whispers out there that the Padres might be interested in having him come back next season. He's pitched pretty well in the second half especially. You know, the numbers, the win-loss record doesn't look great, but the other numbers have been okay, and if he can keep the ball in the ballpark, you know, you still see Ian Kennedy possibly being an effective starting pitcher for the next 2 to 3 years. The question is whether the Padres can afford Ian Kennedy moving forward, especially considering his agent is one Scott Boras, who tends to maximize the contracts for his clients, shall we say.
Well, it looks like the market value for Ian is around $15 to $16 million a year. Now, it's going to take a multi-year contract, knowing Boras, and I don't know if the Padres are going to be willing to do that, but I will say that I think they will give him a qualifying offer for 1 year, if for nothing else than to get the compensation pick.
Exactly. Let's explain that for the, you know, if you don't know the ins and outs of all the details of free agency, if the Padres offer Ian Kennedy a qualifying contract, that would be a one-year deal for next year. Kennedy can choose to take it, and he'll get paid handsomely for 1 year, and then he'd be a free agent again. Or if he declines it and becomes a free agent, well, then any team that signs Ian Kennedy would then owe the Padres a top draft pick, either a first-round pick from 11 to the end of the first round, or if they were one of the top 10 draft picks, they'd get the early second-round draft pick. Kind of the same way the Padres lost their first-round pick this past offseason because they signed James Shields. They had to give it up to the Kansas City Royals.
And sometimes, believe it or not, that falls into a negative situation for the player that's trying to sign with a different club because they might not want to give up that big pick. They might want to sign the player, and they might want to open up their pocketbook to him, but they might not want to do it to that extent. So it might hurt the negotiating power of Ian Kennedy going forward. Scott Boras is very familiar with that. He's very smart. Hey, this guy is one hell of an agent. I mean, he might be the best agent out there, and I'm not taking anything away from all the other guys that are good player agents. But Scott Boras knows his stuff. He's learned how to maneuver through every type of contract negotiation that there is. He went to law school at the School of the Pacific, and he's just a smart guy. Plus, you know what? He was a pretty good baseball player.
Really?
He was.
On the field. You know, there's an impression out there that Scott Boras is evil. He's all that's wrong with baseball. No, he's not. He's just very good at his job. As you said, maybe the best in baseball. And if he was my agent, if he was your agent, you'd hope that he was working hard to try to get you the best contract possible. That's all he does for his client. He does his job. He does it really well, and he tends to, you know, maximize those contracts. Now, Do they always work out? Do some teams feel they overpaid? Well, you know, that was their decision. You know, no one forced them to sign the contract. So give Scott Boras credit for being really good at his job.
And that's exactly right. I think the definition you just threw out there of him is right on. He's just a smart guy. He knows the game. He knows what he can get for his guys. And, boy, he got into it at a good time. I mean, he was 10, 12 years after the advent of free agency came in. But he started maybe 5 or 6 years after the advent of free agency. So the contracts hadn't gotten really squirrely and crazy until lately. And now he's reaping the benefits.
You know, he's known for some of the big deals, like Alex Rodriguez, 10 years, $250 million. I mean, that was the groundbreaking original deal that really, I think, skyrocketed the price of baseball around there. But as it relates back to Ian Kennedy, I think you made a great point, Kurt. The qualifying offer, if the Padres extended, could actually hurt his marketability in free agency, because teams that might be willing to pay – you know, that kind of money for Ian Kennedy also might not want to give up the draft pick to sign him. And that would mean that maybe the Padres could work a little bit with Ian Kennedy and Scott Boras and say, well, you know, maybe we can find a middle ground where we can sign you to a maybe not a huge long deal, but a couple-year deal and find numbers that work to somehow keep him here in San Diego.
I think if you look at the starting pitching on the San Diego Padre Baseball Club, there's probably only one guy that you would say really put together somewhat a decent year, and that's Tyson Ross. If you take Ian Kennedy and split the seasons up, you would say that Ian Kennedy put together a heck of a second half. And he's the kind of pitcher, he's kind of like a James Shields. As a matter of fact, those two guys, in my mind, are really, really very close. They go out and you know what you're going to get. You're going to get a game where, for the most part, 75 to 90% of the time, you're going to be in the game with three runs or less. They're going to give up their solo home runs because that's who they are, but they're going to keep a ball club in the game. They're going to throw 200 innings. That's worth a lot of money in today's market. And those two guys give it to you, and I think that's the reason the ball club went out and gave James Shields the kind of money they gave him, and I think that's why they might be willing to give Ian Kennedy a couple of years at right around his asking price, I think is going to be – Scott's going to probably try to get $20 million a year for him.
Oh, I just can't see that for Ian Kennedy.
He's going to try.
The win-loss record may not be the most important stat when it comes to pitching, but there are teams out there who are going to look at it. They're going to see 14 losses, and I can't imagine that they can open the pocketbook that wide for a pitcher, you know, even if the market's a little tight.
And then Scott's going to go, yeah, on a ball club that got shut out 19 times, you know, he should have maybe 5 more wins.
Well, he'll have a whole booklet.
Oh, yeah, he'll have his whole
thing. He'll have it all out there. But, you know, there's one thing that Ian Kennedy does better than anyone else in Major League Baseball, and it'll be on display tonight. Ian Kennedy has the best ERA of any starting pitcher with over 50 innings at Coors Field, 3.01. He does not – get rattled. It doesn't get in his head like it does so many other pitchers. So we'll see if he can do it tonight. 8 times he started and given up 3 runs or less at Coors Field. Basically treats it like any other park in America, and he's able to have success where other pitchers seem to fall apart when they get up in that thin air.
Well, and that's saying something, too, because there's other guys that have signed free agent contracts with the Colorado Rockies and weren't able to perform up there and just fell apart as soon as they got up in that high air and the mental part of the game of taking the mound at Coors Field. They couldn't handle it. Ian Kennedy can.
Mike Hampton was the first big one. Remember when
you're
the Rockies –
you're exactly right. Good call.
They got
right
started
there,
and they had the hitters. They had the Vinny Castilla, the Larry Walker, the Dante Bichette, and they were a playoff team early. And then all of a sudden, they had sellout crowds, so let's spend some of this money on pitching. And they went out and they signed Mike Hampton, state-of-the-art deal. And guess what? He got up to Coors Field. That sinker didn't sink anymore. And all of a sudden, you know, I don't think the Rockies have really, other than that one great September and October that got them to the World Series in 2007, they've never really been able to duplicate what they had in their first, you know, 3-4 years of franchise history with the Blake Street Bombers. It just hasn't worked. That formula hasn't been successful for them again.
That is a great call on Mike Hampton, because that's the exact guy that I was thinking about. He signed an 8-year, $120 million contract to go to the Colorado Rockies. And you know what? He wasn't even the same pitcher after that. And he pitched for probably another 6 or 7 years at the major league level after he went to Colorado. It just killed him. I mean, the Rocky Mountains killed Mike Hampton. That's all there is to it. And he was a great guy. I mean, he went like 22-4 for Houston 1 year. He had an amazing year. I don't know who beat him out for the Cy Young Award that year, but whoever it was unbelievable. It was 1999.
So whoever, we got to look it up and figure out.
Yeah, we're going to have to figure that
one out. Blooper's looking that one up. But, you know, they paired him with Denny Nagel up there in Colorado, and they thought, we've got a couple of aces at the top of the staff, righty-lefty. We're all set. It just didn't work out that way, and they're still kind of trying to figure it out. Okay, on Padres Social Hour today, you can participate via Twitter. Use the hashtag PadresSH. And I got a question that has been nagging at my brain since last weekend, and I blame Bill Center for putting it there. I had him on the radio pregame show, and he just kind of threw this in as an afterthought, and I haven't been able to forget about it since. And he said, you know, he qualified. I don't know if he's mentioned it on the couch this week or not. He probably has. But he said, you know, Matt Kemp's got 4 more years on his contract. You want to keep him as healthy as possible. You want him to get to that end of that 5 years of his deal and still be a productive hitter. Can he do that by staying in the outfield the whole time? Should the Padres, and this was his question, consider moving Matt Kemp into first base? You know, maybe as soon as next season, to help save the legs, keep his health up, and keep that bat in the lineup, you know, moving forward the next 4 years. And that's something I want to get your thoughts on when we come back. And we can also see what the fans think on Twitter using the hashtag PadresSH. Hard to believe, just 15 games left in the season, just 18 more episodes of Padres Social Hour before we put Blooper into carbonite and into the deep freeze until the next season.
He can't wait.
Yeah, he's ready for a little break, right?
Yes, he is.
And speaking of carbonite deep freeze, Star Wars night coming up. Join the many Darth Vaders, Chewbaccas, and Stormtroopers as they invade Petco Park on Saturday, September 26th for Star Wars Day. Come to the game dressed in your best Star Wars costume. Purchase a special ticket package and get a custom-themed T-shirt only available for the first 2,000 fans with a Star Wars Day ticket. Get those tickets at Padres.com/Star Wars. Friday edition of Padres Social Hour. Kurt Bevacqua and Ben Higgins will be right back.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Live from the AMR studios inside the Western Metal Supply Company, it is Padres Social Hour. Kurt Bevacqua and Ben Higgins with you on a Friday night. Kind of quiet around here on the road trips. I've been here on a few Fridays on home games, and it's lively and exciting. A little quiet, although we've got there are a few customers inside the Padres store that have been poking their heads around while we've been talking. What are those two guys jabbering about over in the corner?
I know. They come over here with strange looks on their face, but yet when it's a home game, they almost expect it.
Exactly. Pennant races, by the way. We've already had some baseball action today at Wrigley Field in Chicago. The Cubs with an 8-3 win over the St. Louis Cardinals. Cardinals still, I think, 4 games up or so in the NL Central. And the Pirates are the Cubs closing in on Pittsburgh. And, of course, those teams are battling for the one-game home field advantage in the wild card playoff. And, boy, for an entire one, I know you've said this before, but an entire 162-game season to then just come down to one game between two really terrific teams, if it is the Pirates and the Cubs. It's almost a shame that you can't at least get it to a three-game playoff for the wild card teams.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I think I read some this date in history this morning that I can't remember what year it was, but they clinched the American League Championship on this day back in – and it
seems
wasn't
so
1890
early now, yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. It really is. I mean, I think the length of the schedule is way too long. They need to shorten it up. They need to think about that. That's one of the things that Rob Manfred, along with all the rest of the stuff that he's going to make decisions on with, you know, replay and, you know, how to sharpen that up a little bit and just the different things that he's going to be be facing. I think that's one of the things they have to look at in the next couple of years.
Had a little controversy in that game at Wrigley Field. Matt Holliday, who, of course, has been on and off the disabled list all year, came back off the disabled list for the Cardinals today. And then in his first at-bat, ends up getting plunked by Dan Heron in the back of the head and had to leave the game after taking first base. So, of course, the Cardinals weren't too happy about that. And they, you know, got deep into their bullpen later in the game. They started throwing at the Cubs. Rizzo, I think, got hit. And then Mike Matheny got ejected as well. So they had some ejections. I'm just saying tensions were running high at Wrigley Field in that one today.
This is the first time I've heard of that. I didn't get a chance to see the game. I was doing some other work. And I'm really, really irritated now that I missed it.
You are.
Oh, yeah.
It would have been an interesting one to watch. Old school.
Yeah. I like games like that.
I know you do. I know. That's an old school one for
you.
All right, let's go out to Twitter using the hashtag PadresSH. And, of course, you know, I threw out some good comments, threw out some good questions. And the first comment we get is on Kurt's wardrobe from Brent. Says, orange shirt, yellow hat, yikes, that's bold. Can Kemp put together a whole season? Hashtag PadresSH. And the socks, the Tony Gwynn socks.
Brent,
too.
I got T. Gwynn working today. If you look at that brown jersey that's up on the wall right there, you got orange and gold together. I'm not copying that jersey, but the real reason for the whole deal is these socks. These are T. Gwynn socks. They're brand new Stance, just released, with T. Gwynn on them. So that was the real reason I did that. Plus, I figured an old school hat had to work its way in. So you can get on my wardrobe anytime you want to, but there was a reason for this one.
They're all, you know, somewhat era of Padre coloring here and there and everywhere.
So. Yikes.
Yeah, that's okay. It's Friday. It's casual Friday, right?
Can he last a whole season? Is that the second part of his
question?
Yeah,
can he last a whole season?
Of course he can.
I think the idea is and Matt Kemp has really been, he's been out there day in and day out for the Padres this year. Now, of course, he had the couple of months where his bat wasn't working so well. The question is whether he can hit, I think, throughout the whole season like he did in the first half. And that goes back to the question that I asked, and I'm going to now pose it to you, that Bill Center got poking around in my brain last weekend. Would you consider moving Matt Kemp to first base to save a little wear and tear? You know, this was on Wednesday, he crashed into the fence in Arizona going after a ball, and I'm going, boy, this is making more and more sense. Every time I think about it, every time I see Matt Kemp running like this into the corner and smashing into the fence, I go, oh, first base would just be a lot safer for a guy that you're going to be paying a lot of money to over the next 4 years and counting on to be your, you know, number three hitter for a long time still to come.
And that's the most important part of it. The money part of it is secondary, but the fact that you're going to rely on him to be the go-to guy offensively makes the move from the outfield to first base all sensible, the most sensible thing that I've heard in a long time. I think it's something that they're going to look at. If not right next year, they certainly will a short time after that. You've got a young kid in Will Myers that can play in the outfield. There's no problem there. You got to figure out what you're going to do with Derek Jeter. You got to figure out whether or not you're going to talk to Yonder Alonso about coming back and what kind of contract he's going to get,
right,
if in fact he does. So I think it's going to start there. And then you've got guys within your organization that can play that position. I don't think they have to go outside to find a first baseman.
I don't mean to be dismissive of Yonder Alonso, who, of course, is out for the season and has battled injuries really his entire time here in San Diego. But from that first base position, to me, you really have to get more offensive production. Yonder does some things well. His defense, best defensive first baseman on the team, and he's worked on that hard. But the power numbers are not there. I think if you're going to be a productive lineup, you got to get bigger numbers. You got to drive in runs. You got to get power from your first baseman. Now, Kemp could give that to you there. Unfortunately, Yonder hasn't. And I don't know if he'll come back next year. He's got another year of arbitration eligibility. But, you know, the Padres are going to have to consider whether they even want to tender a contract out to Yonder Alonso or decide if they want to go another direction at first base.
Well, I tell you what, I've watched Yonder for a few years now. I think he's a terrific hitter when he's a hitter. When he tries to hit the ball out of the ballpark and be something other than the hitter that he is, he takes away from himself. And for that reason, I don't think he's a 25-homer-a-year guy. So if that's what you're looking for from a first baseman, as far as your thought process is concerned, I don't think it's Yonder Alonso. I think you have to look elsewhere. Matt Kemp naturally can put up those kind of numbers. You know, I'd be satisfied if my first baseman hit 15 to 22, 23 home runs. I'd be happy with that. If he played a good defensive first base, he hit for average, which is 280 to 290 or above, and drives in 80 to 100 runs. I'm happy with that being a first baseman right there. I think Yonder Alonso can do that if he doesn't try to hit home runs.
And stays healthy. And he hasn't been able
to show
either of those. Bradley tweeted in on the Kemp question. I think he definitely could play it, meaning first base, but would he want to switch positions? Hashtag Padres SH. I don't know. Would Matt Kemp be open to considering it? I haven't talked to him about it. I don't know if anyone else has either. You know, sometimes outfielders, they've got some pride. And he's been a good outfielder. And he's got a great arm, too.
He does have a good arm.
You'd be neutralizing that arm pretty much by bringing it in at first baseman. You know, other than Adrian Gonzalez, you don't see a lot of first basemen with rocket arms like Matt Kemp has. But I'm simply, you know, the consideration of health and longevity just makes me think it's got to be something that the Padres will be looking at this offseason.
And I think that first consideration that you brought up is the key to whether or not his acceptance of moving from the outfield to first base, because he's been healthy this year. Matt Kemp has gone through the entire 2015 season, for the most part, with the exception of a game or two, where he was good to go. He was gone for about a month and a half with a timing issue, and it was completely off. It wasn't a health issue at all. So I think if you went to Matt now and asked him to move the first base, he'd probably be opposed to it. Now, if his back or his knees start to hurt or his hips start to hurt and you talk to him about it then, I think he'd be acceptable to it.
You know, there was talk when he was with the Dodgers and they asked him to move out of center field temporarily that he wasn't a big fan of that. But since he's been in San Diego, I've noticed no bad attitude whatsoever from Matt Kemp. He has been good attitude, Matt, every day of the year, every time I've seen him the entire year, and I got to give him credit for that. I mean, he's been a great leader for this team this season.
I agree with you 100%. I think he's a great guy. I think he's a great teammate. I think he's a silent type of a leader, but yet there are times where he steps up, but the average fan doesn't see it.
True enough. All right, as your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Padres Social Hour on a Friday night continues next with Kurt Bevacqua and Ben Higgins.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
We are back in the AMR studios, Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines. Kurt Bevacqua and Ben Higgins. I don't know if you saw this on the internet today, but they were having fun with Chris Bryant of the Chicago Cubs, the USD star and slugger. You know what Lyft is? You know what Uber is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Lyft is basically like Uber. It's the app where you can get a ride anywhere in town, and they got it in Chicago. And so they had Chris Bryant being a Lyft driver for a day, and he'd pick people up and kind of talk to him about the Cubs and driving past Wrigley Field. And no, not a single one of them, even though several of them said, oh, yeah, I'm a Cubs fan. No one even noticed that it was Chris Bryant until the end when he said, you know, I'm Chris Bryant, the third baseman of the Cubs. Nice.
That's pretty fun.
You.
That's a good prank.
It was a good one. It wasn't as good as a few years ago. I don't know if you remember when Jimmy Fallon, The Tonight Show, had Matt Harvey interview New Yorkers on the street about Matt Harvey, and none of them knew who it was.
They wouldn't have an idea unless he was in his uniform.
Exactly. He was just regular street clothes, and he was conducting interviews about Matt Harvey, and they were giving, he's got to stay healthy. It was so funny. That was hilarious.
I've had teammates that I've seen in the lobby of hotels that I didn't recognize. So I don't hold that against people.
Oh,
can't
all right.
Tell anybody if they're not in their uniform.
Yeah. No. It can. It's very, you see a person in one context. No, you're right.
Exactly.
You see a person in one context, you can see him 100 times, you can see him every day. You take him out, you put him in a different context, and all of a sudden they're unrecognizable.
Do you think you'd recognize Philip Rivers walking down the street in a mall if he wasn't in his Charger uniform.
I would Philip Rivers, yeah. I mean, just simply because I've covered him so much. But, you know, the quarterback, his face gets on. I mean, there's enough faces out there that get on every day that you just you couldn't possibly miss. I mean, you know, I'd never not recognize Tony Gwynn if he was, you know, rocking around back in the day. There's certainly some of them. But other guys that you kind of see, you know, newer players on the team, absolutely. You take them out of their uniform, you put them in a different context, you walk right by him and you never even notice.
Mm-hmm. That's a true story.
No, very true, very true. All right, we continue the discussion here on Padres Social Hour using the hashtag PadresSH, and East Village Times sent in, who do you see as the starting second baseman next year for the Padres? Jurco, Spangenberg, Solarte, someone else? To me, I think it's either Jurco or Spangenberg would be the top two candidates. Only because I don't see Yan-Hervis Solarte leaving third base at this point.
I don't really either, and I think Jurco is going to play the rest of this season at shortstop to see what they're going to do going into 2016. I think right now Corey Spangenberg has the second base job, and I got to tell you something. 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was on the other side of the fence of him being an everyday player. I'm starting to lean a little bit over towards his corner a little bit. He's shown me a little bit as long as they keep him in the same place in the lineup and they don't move him up and down and he gets used to the guys that are hitting around him in front of him and in back of him, he goes out there and he performs pretty well. I don't like him right now at this stage in his career in the top of the lineup.
I tweeted out a potential lineup for the Padres on Wednesday, and I'll tell you this, Padres fans – didn't love it, and I understand why. It's not a perfect lineup. There's flaws in it. This is a lineup, though, that they could do next year without spending an additional dollar.
Oh, you got 2016 already.
You could, yeah.
I love it.
You wouldn't have to make any trades. You wouldn't have to spend any money. You could go young, and here's what you could do. We just talked about moving Matt Kemp to first base. So Kemp, first base, Spangenberg, second, Jurco, short, Solarte, third. Myers in left field. Jankowski/Upton in center field, and if Hunter Renfro, your top prospect, is ready to go, you make him the right fielder. You got Austin Hedges behind the plate. Now, I'm not saying that's going to be the lineup or it should be the lineup. I'm just saying that that's a lineup of young players with Matt Kemp, you know, with some speed, with a little potential upside in the future that they could do right now. Even if A.J. Preller couldn't get a free agent on the phone, couldn't get another GM to make a deal in the entire offseason, they could go with that. Now, is Jed Jurco an ideal shortstop in Major League Baseball? Probably not. Probably doesn't have the defensive range for it, but we've seen he can handle it. You know, he can handle it at least on a temporary basis, as he's done. Is Corey Spangenberg the answer at second base? He's got some nice attributes, the speed, you know, that gets him on. I've seen some things that I like about Corey Spangenberg there. I don't hate anything about any of the guys out there. Myers, I think left field suits him better than center. We saw him filling in for Justin Upton earlier this week in Arizona, making a nice play. We've seen some stuff out of Travis Jankowski. Austin Hedges is a terrific defensive catcher. You know, you could put that lineup on the field and then invest in pitching. You could trade Derek Norris to bring in a pitcher. You could dangle, you know, you could spend some free agent money to rebuild that bullpen. That's something at least you could do this offseason. What do you think?
I don't think that this ball club can go with Austin Hedges behind the plate right now. I think he's overmatched offensively. He's going to need to make some adjustments big time. And I think in order to do that, he's going to need another 300 to 500 at-bats at the minor league level. So I can't get rid of Derek Norris right now. And remember, this is my personal opinion. It has nothing to do with in the know with anything. Derek Norris has to stay here because the ball club doesn't have anything else throughout the system. In the catching spot, they called up Austin Hedges early on and tried to get his feet wet to see what he could do. I think he showed what he can do, and he also showed what he couldn't do in certain situations.
I see your point, Kurt, and I'm going to respectfully disagree with you on this one. Maybe Austin Hedges is not going to be a Silver Slugger winner if he's your starting catcher, but he certainly could be a Gold Glove winner as a catcher. We've seen that amazing throw. We've seen him handle the pitching staff well. You'd be giving up some offense. But to me, Derek Norris right now, is one of your best chips to dangle out there if you're A.J. Preller in the offseason to maybe bring back a middle of the rotation, number two or three starter, you know, to bolster that pitching staff. And Derek Norris, the best thing about Derek Norris, man, the guy plays with heart. He gives it 100% out on the field. He's a great leader. He'd be missed, but he puts his body on the line out there every day. And to me, he is, you know, one more foul tip away of, you know, possibly missing some time. I mean, that guy, isn't he going to break down at some point the way that he plays? I worry about it when I watch him play. But right now, you know, all the doubles he's hit, the average, another team is going to see value in Derek Norris. Leadership, they're going to see and be willing to give up some value, I think, to get a guy like that. And I think that makes him a valuable piece for A.J. Preller this offseason to try to improve the team and then hope that Austin Hedges can improve with the bat while still delivering some top-notch defense and catching behind the plate.
Well, this ball club went into 2015 with the attitude that they were going to bring a winner to San Diego. I don't think they want to extend that out to 2017 and 2018 and be happy with the fact that 2016 is going to bring the All-Star game to San Diego, and that's all they're concerned about, because that's not what ownership is going to be just concerned about. They're going to want to bring a winning team here, plus have the All-Star game, and make 2016 a phenomenal year here in San Diego. Trading Derek Norris and not having another catcher somewhere else, I think would be a huge catastrophe.
All right, what do you guys think out there? Use the hashtag PadresSH. Join us on Twitter. We'll read some of your tweets when we come back. First, though, help create a world without cancer. There is still time to join Pedal the Cause and raise money for San Diego's Cancer Fighting Centers. You can ride in the event this weekend. I know Mike D is working on it, Wayne Partello working on a team in September 18th through the 20th, or you can easily donate to the cause. To learn more or register, visit sdpedal.org or text PEDAL to 41444. To donate today. And I was watching last weekend as I was doing radio. Jesse and everyone did such an amazing job with the radio TV telethon in here. Just fantastic for a great cause. Excellent. Kurt, we'll be back with more Padres Social Hour in a moment. Don't go away.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Padres Social Hour presented by United on a Friday night from the Western Metal Supply Company building. Kurt Pivacqua and Ben Higgins with you as we continue on here. Padres and Rockies, first game of three as we start running out of time here in the Major League Baseball season. Just 15 games to go, Kurt. And I think one of the things that disappointed me the most about the end of the season is that the Padres, you know, they wanted to be playing meaningful games in September for themselves. This year, of course, was the goal. It didn't really happen. Unfortunately, they're not really even getting to play the role of spoiler either because they're not playing any other teams that really have playoff hopes at this point either. I mean, the Giants are really the closest next week, but they're pretty much out of it at this point too. You got the Dodgers three left the last 3 days of the season in L.A., but by that point, I really can't see those games being of import either. So the Padres have been kind of shut out of the pennant race on both sides here in the last month of the season.
Yeah, it is a little disappointing, but you mentioned the word meaningful, and there are a lot of meaningful games going on throughout Major League Baseball. So if you're a baseball fan in general, not just a Padre fan, I think you're going to find that anytime you turn on the television, you're going to see a game that's really going to be exciting, like the one you talked about today. There's a lot of series going on. I mean, you don't know what's going on with the Houston Astros right now. The Texas Rangers are playing great baseball. You don't know what's going to happen with the New York Yankees. On the National League side of things, it looks like the Mets have things wrapped up in the National League East. The Washington Nationals are probably, along with, I think, our San Diego Padres, probably two of the more disappointing teams for the 2015 season. The Nationals, I think, rank above the Padres.
All right, playing around with our tweets on Twitter here on the Social Hour hashtag. Dennis tweeted an interesting question here because we're doing a lot of looking ahead to 2016. He says, with the rotation being so right-hand dominant, what free agent lefty starter would you bring in to help win games in 2016? If the Padres were going to go out and sign a free agent. So I had to go look at the list just to see who's going to be a free agent pitcher out there. And I didn't see a lot of lefties as I looked at this list. Mark Burley was one that I saw. I don't know if he's a fit here financially, but he's still got a pennant race in Toronto that he's worried about right now. But most of the guys who are going to be available on the market are right-handed. So I don't know if the Padres have a great solution there. Robbie Erlen's going to get a start here coming up to break a long streak of all right-handed starters for the Padres. Nothing but righties this year starting for the Padres since the last game last year when Erlen made his last start.
And you know what? It's not an oddity. It really isn't. I think you give me five right-handed starters that are going to go out there and do the job and keep me in the game and give me 180 to 220 innings a year, and I'm happy. I don't need a lefty. You know where I want a lefty? I want a lefty out of the bullpen. That's what I want. I want a specialty guy that I can bring into the game in certain situations against a Rizzo or against a certain guy who's over the top bad against left-handers at a crucial time in the game where I can win a baseball game. I mean, since the turn of the century, there's only been seven baseball teams that have had a rotation that didn't start a left-hander. And a lot of them, five of them, you look at the 84 Detroit Tigers, who started out, 35-2 or something stupid like that? They didn't have a left-hander in the rotation, but you see who they had in the bullpen? The Cy Young Award winner, Willie Hernandez. So, the Oakland A's in 1992 were another team that didn't have a left-handed starter, but they had a good left-hander in the bullpen. You had the Dodgers in 96. You had the Reds in 2012. So it's not the Reds, but the Reds in 2012 and the Cardinals in 2009. They didn't have a left-handed starter. They went on and won. They didn't win the World Series, but they went on and won their National League Championship or American League.
I agree with you. It's not essential. I mean, if you've got five good pitchers, right-handed, left-handed, underhanded, I don't care. If they're effective, that's what really matters. And there's right-handers that do better against lefties than other right-handers, kind of the opposite pitchers. You get some of those as well. So that all has to be taken into consideration. You brought up the bullpen, and I think that's a big point. You want to have some balance in the bullpen, and really it's one of the reasons. It's been tough with Brandon Maurer out, Sean Kelly lately. The Padres' bullpen has struggled in that 6-7 inning range because they haven't been healthy as early. I think I saw 22 runs in the last 22 sixth and seventh innings. That's no way to win baseball games. You get a lead, you lose the lead. You're in a close game, it's no longer close anymore. If you can't, get those a bridge from the, fifth, sixth inning, the starter, to your eighth, ninth inning guys in Benoit and Kimbrel. And that's been tough. And you look at the team's record this year, Kurt. I mean, no matter what happens at this point, they're going to finish about with the same record as last year, whether it's a game or two better, a game or two worse. We know the offense has improved. They've scored a lot more runs. You can just watch them on the field. So, obviously they haven't been getting the same defense or pitching as they got last year. And people continue, they underrate that when putting together a good squad. You can have a good baseball team by putting together a strong bullpen, some good defense, and have a couple of good starting pitchers. And then hope you get someone breaking out in offense. And that's – it amazes me that this team is going to have the same record as last year's Padres team.
It is totally surprising, and I think this ball club this year is about level defensively as last year. I don't think it's worse.
Well, last year's team wasn't they weren't spectacular.
No, they weren't, They were acceptable. And I think this ball club has been acceptable defensively. I don't think they're certainly any worse. I mean, you look at Bryce Harper, who's going to probably win the MVP award. He's not the greatest outfield in the world. I mean, the routes he takes the balls are not that great. There's guys that are much better than he is in the outfield, but he's such a great offensive ball player that people overlook it. And you also do that when you have defensive play or defensive liabilities, I guess you could call them, on your ball club that aren't the 10-plus type of player that you like to see on the defensive side of things.
I am going to throw out a question out there as well. And actually, can we put Kurt on the Cholula hot seat here? Let's put you on the Cholula hot seat, and we can have the viewers tweet in as well if they want it. If you could only address one position in the offseason for the Padres, what position would you address?
Left-handed relief pitcher.
All right. I think a lot of people are going to say shortstop, and that's not a bad answer. Mm-hmm. The Padres need an everyday shortstop who can play that position. But to me, it's all about pitching, and I agree with you. I mean, bullpen, you know, to make it a little wider to me, you've got to have a solid bullpen. And the Padres have a great closer, the best one in the game. If you're not going to trade him, if you're going to keep him around, you got one part, that's one part. You got to be able to get the ball to him. You got to get from the sixth inning to the ninth inning somehow. You can't afford to be losing games that you're up 4-3 in the sixth inning or 5-2 in the sixth. You can't lose any of those leads. You got to get him to Kimbrel every time. And if he does it, he's going to give you the win. Well, this year, every single time. He's blown two saves, but the Padres have won those two games as well. Every game the Padres have had the lead through eight innings, they have won. So now the game is an eight-inning game. If you can get the lead through eight innings, you're going to win. You know, 100% of the time, maybe not. They might blow one. But probably over 97, 98% of the time, if you've got Craig Kimbrel, you're going to win the game if you've got the lead after eight innings. So make it an eight-inning game. If you can find someone to pitch the seventh and eighth that's lights out as well, you can make it a six-inning game. Wow, you know, baseball gets a lot easier that way.
Oh, yes, it does. I actually think this ball club has a left-hander that's on the roster right now that has the capabilities of being that type of left-hander out of the bullpen, and that's Frank Garces. He needs to undergo a serious tutorial, and somebody needs to take him under his wing, and he needs to have a pitch at the major league level. I think he's got the arm for it. I think he might be the guy that steps up and does it next year.
Wisdom from the Cholula Hot Seat. Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. Got to get a starting lineup here and a head-to-head challenge. All still ahead. Padres Social Hour. Curtin Ben back in a minute.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines. And time for that United Airlines starting lineup. United Airlines proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. Will Myers right there in the leadoff spot. Yan-Hervis Solarte, Matt Kemp, Justin Upton. These guys all rake in Colorado. I'm expecting big things from a lot of these guys tonight as they open a three-game series against the Colorado Rockies. And I already told you, Ian Kennedy, best pitcher ever at Coors Field. Literally, lowest ERA of any starter with over 50 innings at Coors Field. That's a winning lineup tonight, Kurt.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Ian can feel good about himself because of that statistic.
He's got hitters. He's got confidence. This should be a good one to start the weekend series in Denver.
Absolutely.
All right, to put on your thinking cap because we got the head-to-head challenge coming up momentarily. Not yet. That is coming up momentarily. First, at Evans Tire and Service Centers, buy two select tires and get two free. With quality name brand tires and 16 convenient locations, why shop anywhere else? Visit evanstires.com. Let me do that one more time. Visit evanstire.com, home of the buy two, get two, and we will come back with a head-to-head challenge with Kurt and Blooper next on Padres Social Hour.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Wrapping up Padres Social Hour presented by United as we get to our head-to-head challenge. And boy, this is tight. Coming down to the last 15 games of the season, it has been back and forth all year. The couch has taken a one-game lead over Blooper. I mean, every single decision could be the one that decides the entire season. No pressure, guys. No pressure whatsoever here as we get Blooper with the first selection today and reminded me, of course, the last time the Padres played on a Friday night in Denver, Matt Kemp did something pretty special with the cycle. But that doesn't mean you have to take Matt Kemp, Blooper.
I took him that night.
You did take him that night.
Did you really?
Yes,
yeah.
I did.
Yeah, he
kind of won
hands
down there.
Gave himself 100 points for that.
The next day, and then I had to take him away. Today I'm going with Will Myers.
Will Myers.
I'll take Ian Kennedy.
No Kemp. Ian Kennedy.
He's going
with the pitcher at Coors Field.
I told him I wasn't going to take Matt if he didn't take Matt.
I know you do the research, so you probably knew that stat as well, but I feel responsible for saying all the good things about Kennedy at Coors Field for you taking him.
When somebody takes the mound or they walk into a ballpark that they feel comfortable in, they've got a good chance to perform well there. Well, Ian Kennedy feels comfortable at Coors Field, and so does Matt Kemp. So I expect Matt Kemp to do some things offensively tonight also.
All right, I'm excited. It's going to be Mike Grace and Randy Jones in tomorrow, so it may be a tough decision at the end. And Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail, the cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. Padres baseball coming up next. For Kurt Pavakwa, I'm Ben Higgins. Thanks for joining us on Padres Social Hour.